laugh. I notice the thought, oh, I'm killing the ants, and I smile. How very strange. The hand keeps moving on its own, without a plan, doing its job. I stop it. And I notice later, when I'm not conscious of my murdering ways, that the hand is at it again. When I'm not looking, who is killing the ants? Should I take credit? The hand stops, and who knows what it will be up to next. My daughter happens to be visiting, and as she leaves the house to buy rice milk for Marley, I tell her, "And by the way, sweetheart, please buy some ant hotels." Why did I say such a thing? Because I did. That's the way of it. The idea with ant hotels is that the ants are drawn to the poison inside and go back to their nests after eating it and infect the others, and that, supposedly, is the end of the ants in the house. I wonder why killing ants doesn't bother me. And I come to see that my death also is by poison. The things I have done to pollute the water that not only I but everyone drinks. The emissions from my car that poison the very air we breathe. I am so like the ants. And the greed for food that for so many years created guilt in me, as if mind were body and suffering were possible in reality. And the chemicals from the processed food products that I occasionally eat, the many ways that I still poison myself, bring a smile to my face. It's not that I'm masochistic. I love my life. But this continual poisoning is beyond me. It is simply the way of it. Am I breathing? That's how it seems. I live with the ants the way I live with my own dear self. Bodies come and go. And when mind understands itself, when it stops poisoning itself with what it believes to be true, there is no physical experience that it can suffer over. 2 days later, as I sit in my favorite corner of the couch, again I begin to feel little scrambling movements on my hand and my neck. Ants again. It turns out that I am their nest. I am the one they have come back to infect, and I have only bought poison for myself. What goes around comes around. I appreciate that.
When they think that they know the answers, people are difficult to guide. When they know that they don't know, people can find their own way.
I don't try to educate people. Why would I do such a thing? My only job is to point you back to yourself. When you discover, inside yourself, behind everything you're thinking, the marvelous don't know mind, you're home free. The don't know mind is the mind that is totally open to anything life brings you. When you find it, you have found your way. I work with 4- and 5-year-old children who suffer from believing the same concepts that adults believe. These concepts are sacred religions. We're completely devoted to them. People should come. People should go. People should understand me. I'm to this. You're to that. My wife shouldn't lie. My children should appreciate me. My husband doesn't love me. My mother would be much happier if she saw things the way I do. Whatever story we're attached to, that's where our devotion is. There's no room for God in it. I once worked with a woman in Jerusalem. Her religion was, I should have thin thighs. She thought that's what would give her what she wanted in life. She was the cutest. And she just wasn't willing to do the work. She couldn't go inside for an honest answer because she was terrified that if she answered honestly, she'd end up with fat thighs. She thought she needed fear as a motivation to exercise and eat right. It was obvious that she preferred thin thighs to freedom. She wouldn't take the risk of letting go of control and going deep into herself to see what her own truth was. For her, the sacred concept was thin thighs. For someone else, it's more money. For others, it's a relationship. I love being with these people. They say they want freedom more than anything in the world, and they cry and beg for help. And as soon as I get anywhere near their sacred concept, these spiritual seekers who have been on the path for 30 or 40 years have no interest in freedom. Zero. Their true religion has been threatened, and they rush to the ramparts to defend it. I asked her, "Can you absolutely know that it's true that right now your thighs should be thinner than they are?" And you'd be amazed at how fast this woman dodged away. She didn't stop to really ask herself the question, not for an instant. "Yes, I can," she said. Slam. The gate shuts. The drawbridge goes up. The I know mind retreats behind its castle walls, ready to defend itself against the whole world. That's why I love to ask someone who sits with me, "Do you really want to know the truth?" The education you need is within you. How can what is already within you be taught? It can only be realized. If you're willing to go inside and wait for the truth, your inborn wisdom meets the question, and the answer rings true as if it were a tuning fork inside your own being. When you believe that there is a problem, the master doesn't try to convince you that there isn't. She is rooted in the place of understanding. She is you, reflected back to yourself. She understands that problems are not possible, except when you believe what you're thinking. Only mind lives, if anything lives. The master will always point you back to your own mind, your own realization. And a part of the deliciousness is to fully meet every suicidal tendency until, in the presence of the master within you, the self is finally seen for what it isn't.